Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Right.
And I just knew that's what I'll have to. Right, but some of what. Right, I understand. I understand that. I understand what you're saying. Yes, and you haven't told me very much that would be embarrassing to anybody, you know, so.
I think it's embarrassing to them, like,
okay.
Like, we call me, what is his name? The proposal to make the meeting, and how many then, and then and how many, category, et cetera.
David Hudson.
Yeah, I don't want.
But David Hudson was working, would you, what year was that? That was 1968, you think?
No, he was gone. And you say,
Well, when did Hudson make that offer to you? What year?
Oh, that is right after 78. After 78.
Oh, after 78? No, after 78, after you.
After 68.
Yeah.
Because
he was working at the time for, not for the CIA though, Hudson.
No.
Right.
He worked for the Hutch Colombia people.
Right, then for
five.
Right.
And and after that he continued to work for Bing Crosby.
Right, so he worked from 65 to 68, he worked for Lansdale in the Saigon shop. And
before that too.
Yeah.
51, you know, he came here as a correspondent number, and he said, he worked with Jim Robinson. So he needs a table in our pocket to be able to get him. So he took smart that guy because we were cheap on driving. So together, he and I and
by the way,
the one who found me, the man that they kicked me out from right away, and then
I just need a yes or no answer. Rufus Phillips wanted me to ask you. Rufus Phillips wanted me to ask you two questions, and just say yes or no. Okay, so you don't. I don't want you to talk on this. Number one question Rufus wants to know is if he had been able to get Lansdale to go to Saigon in September 1963, the way he wanted to. Rufus tried to convince President Kennedy to send Lansdale to Saigon in September 1963. And this is what Rufus wants to know. If he had gotten out, do you think Lansdale could have convinced Diem to send Nu away, to send Nu to the United States or Harvard or something like that?
I think he can do it.
You do? Okay.
I think very difficult, but he still can do it. But because he didn't even mention people. You know,
right.
And then his plan is that he had to do it because the global hates him so much.
Right.
That's the difference.
And right, because Rufus tells me that
you trust only Lansdale and Rufus Phillips because they sent him.
Right. Now, right.
Not very sure, but he may agree.
Right.
Rufus didn't agree already about that.
Right. Rufus Phillips says, the person who agrees with that is Trianon.
He listened to if he landed in 73. He may save his life.
Right. Because Rufus tells me that Tran Nok Chow says yes, but Hong Van Lok says no. Tran Nok Chow, he says yes, that is, he agrees with you, but Wong Van Lok says no, that Wong Van Lok, L-A-C.
L-A-C.
But that's okay, this is not for me, it's for Rufus. The other thing Rufus wanted to know is, did you hold General Tang, T-H-A-N-G, did you hold him in high regard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because Rufus tells me that President Tu really screwed him, but General Tang was the head of pacification while he was the prime minister.
He very smart. He very smart. He fooled everybody, including Landsdale people. So.
He fooled everyone?
For sure. He is very front-lined. He knows that everybody sends their guys from his office back to his house. And then he got to show that he is very popular among the people. You know, he was ahead of classification. He were in war. That's kind of like a black pajama having power and employment. So then they fight and they have to wait that. And then they did the
I will tell Rufus that. By the way, I wanted to ask you.
Because he would kill, the other one would kill, you know, Jerry Rose and the other one. Chief of pacification before Tang invested. The aircraft was shot down.
Okay. When you told me the story about the sister, the brother who married the sister from Instant, you told me the story about the fisherman from Queenan, you know, and the wind, and the rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is this the rock? Is that it?
That's it?
That's it. Yeah. Brandis's children gave me this. They gave me that picture. Okay. Very good. All right. I want to know that. Okay. Vulcanization. Oh, I wanted to ask you, do you know, Le Van Tai?
Yeah, sure.
Now,
He's the man
who introduced you to Tien, is that correct?
No, he recommends Tien to accept me. Actually, he didn't know that I knew Tien before. He's the man who advised Tien to take Kaviao back from the jail. He was jailed by Shuri Gunn and Wei. He helped Cao Yao out of the foundation.
So Cao Shai was in jail?
In jail by the Shuri Gunn. He needed a captain.
In 1950.
When I went to the U.S.
So 57, 58, okay.
Yeah, 57, 58. And then he got in there now, and then let him free you here. Le Van Tai, actually, he worked for Bud. He and Cao Yao and Boom, etc., worked for Lu Van Lai, the Vietnamese ambassador, Paris, etc. Lubin right now is over 80.
Right, I know Lubin was, and I made...
And these people work for him.
Okay.
And after that, they turned again here. Yeah, and then Groom and Kaviyao, et cetera. But they did work for them. Lubin died after that, worked as informator for the American CIA in Hanoi. So he gave Cody story all about the man in charge of that was Carol Ingram. He's a chief of station there. But that's why when he was met deputy of CIA in Taiwan, when this man is in own Taiwan, he was worried too much. He asked me to ask the American to let him have an appointment to see Carol Ingram. And then Carol Ingram refused completely. And then he asked my friend whether I know Lubin Taiwan. I said, no, because he just came from the north. I'm a southerner. But be careful about that guy. You know, actually, very, he can hold you a bit. But after that, he lived. He just died that year. He died because of a MPC man, too.
Lubin Tai?
Yeah, Lubin Tai.
But here's my question about Lubin Tai. He was the surrogate father to President Key's wife. Lubin Tai was the surrogate father, or very close, to Tiet Mai, who was Key's wife.
He introduced Tiet Mai to Key.
Right.
He is a close friend of Tiet Mai's father. Dang Zheng Hao. And then the reason is, her mother asked I to keep her in the house in order to marry to anyone important. He worked for the embassy, for the presidential. Someone important. He had intention to introduce to me too.
Okay. Very interesting. Now, how often did you, you had a good relationship with President Key, right? With President Key?
Yeah.
Right. And did you meet with him in the palace or?
No, he didn't. Sometimes we get together. When he prepared to run for presidency, Lubin Tai organized a meeting for everybody to give advice to Key, and I was invited too.
Did you? And you went?
Huh?
You gave,
yeah,
you
I
gave advice.
One, yeah.
What was your advice?
Huh?
Did you give advice? What was your advice?
I don't remember, you know. By the end, he decided not to run.
Right.
Because he was too pressured not to do it, not to run against Hill.
And when he came back here, when Key comes to Vietnam, you haven't seen him, right?
By chance, we got together one dinner.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But by chance, not. There are many, many people there.
Last year? 1 year ago?
Last year.
He didn't want your blood anymore, right?
What?
He didn't want your blood anymore. Remember he said, I get his blood, remember?
When, yeah.
But now he was friendly again.
Yeah, I know, he's very good.
Okay.
Because I just knew his uncle as my own father. All of my children call his uncle grandfather.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So your children call...
Okay, uncle and the grandfather. Because he like me like his own son. He had a son who was a medical doctor in France. He turned here working for a while and then he died of leukemia. So he had no son. And his daughter is a recruiter of Vietnam.
Now, you didn't have a relationship with President Tu, though, right? With President
Tu?
No.
know his family well. And Glenn Lansdale, people were particularly Josh Melvin, organized all of the Vietnamese center for particularly the U.S. for training research. He worked at that time for the Lansdale mission.
Okay.
And those who wrote that one was the Coleman Arthur E. John. But Chief of Max, he was O'Donnell.
Oh yes, I know O'Donnell. Okay, so I want to make sure on the bugging of Gibral in 1970, on the plan to bug Gibral in 1973 after the Paris Agreement, that plan was a CIA plan, right? To put bugs in Gibral so they could listen to the PRG.
Signing because they plan to set up a coalition government.
Right.
And you would bring hotel. That time the American already withdrawn. So bring hotel to locate let the representative or PRG to live there.
Right.
Now to negotiate for the reconciliation and government. On this side, the first they organized the Concord government. And that Concord government negotiated with the other to set up a coalition government.
Okay.
So they know that on this side, the theater at that time was the assembly for the nationalist side, on the Concord side. So they plan to use the brings for the PRG representative. So these people, they know they walk around and they like to go to Gibral. So they believe Gibral. They have all kind of information there.
Right.
For the Jivan Katina radio, representative all kind of people, including Chiang Kai-shek people too. They call it the blue shirt, graduated from Bangkok and everything.
Did they bug Gibral?
Yeah.
They did it. Okay.
But when they did, I know about that.
And so you stayed away, or you you were careful what you said then.
Yeah,
right?
Not before that. After they have this kind of thing, you know, in the process.
Yeah.
I know all of that because they informed me about that.
Okay.
So all these people that know about that.
Did you warn anyone?
You didn't
tell the PRG delegation or anyone, be careful, this place is bugged, right? Yeah.
If you do this kind of thing,
you're caught.
You will be caught.
Right, okay.
They were very stupid. They never know how to protect you.
Okay, now, I wanted to make sure.
You know, they don't know your name, they don't know your rank.
Right, now. In the in my book, I tell the story of how you got the scoop. You beat Arnold de Borchgrave to the scoop on the 90th. Yes, and I want to make sure one thing: you checked, or someone from Time checked with Kissinger, right? And told Kissinger, and right.
No, that's not it. I got the story already.
Right.
But because of secrecy, I didn't give the time yet. But when Arnold de Borchgrave arrived, and I learned from the Vietnamese CIO from France, Vietnamese Central Intelligence, and found that Arnold de Borchgrave was invited by Pham Van Dong, and I to give a story that Pham Van Dong was mad, that Kissinger did not go over there in order to initial the trap agreement.
Right.
And yet they know that the American people are tricked to postpone it. So he revealed the story, but instead of going directly there to get that story, he was supposed to stop Saigon to see the fight between Kissinger and Steele and me now. In order to make this story so, you know, public, et cetera, much better, because he was so sure he's cooked. When I learned about that, I told Diamond about the breakthrough in Paris already. And they said, are you sure, Aunt? Because if not, we had to scrap the whole
right.
Melody, because they were ready. Well, Friday, they were underprint, with the underprinter. So I said, all right, I can be sure. I checked with two or three sources, the palace, CIO, and etc. So actually, I knew that one. On the other side, already let me know the story already. And then he was reluctant to do it, the bureau chief, you know, Mr.
Stanley Cloud.
Stanley Cloud, yeah, he was reluctant to do it.
Right.
And then, fortunately, the chief correspondent, Mr. Murray Gart, was there. He said, very simple. You just bring Kissinger.
This is Murray Gart.
Yeah. Stories. Do you confirm it or deny it? That's all. And then he said, all right, I confirm it, but please don't go into detail. If you go too much into detail, you might be wrong. So I advise them not to go too much detail. I do not give them much detail. I get enough detail. That's enough to be. That's why Arnold Bogram was very bad at me. And then he charged them. Time managing was being traded by the communists.
Right.
The way I said, oh, that's wrong.
Right. That's what he later did. In my book, I say that he's wrong. So, in my book, I say that Arnold de Borchgrave's accusation that Time Magazine and you were doing disinformation is inaccurate, totally inaccurate. So, right, wrong. Now, I need to know how you first met Dr. Tien. How did you first meet him?
Oh, I did it.
Where? You know?
We have many people. Happy. First, it was the American first who introduced me to the U.S., etc. Yeah.
Right.
And then Melvin, and then go to work for Lansdale. But
right.
To meet Dr. Tien, actually, I didn't meet him immediately, but a friend of a cousin-in-law working for Morning Khan come and then with the authorization of Morning Khan to talk to him to deliver me a visa. And he said, all right, he will check about that. And then he checked with the American like a Gordon Woodbury. And then Captain
Woodbury, yes.
Captain
Jack Horner. Jack Horner.
Jack Horner.
Right.
And Jack Horner introduced me to two men. He talked to two men. One man is Boy Kwang Eun. He's a guest professor of Columbia University who teach American and then the American at the USAID at the White House and the Pentagon about the occupation in Vietnam.
And this is Professor who?
Professor Boy Kwang Eun, B-U-I,
yeah.
U-A-N-G-A-N.
Okay.
And he worked also for the Minh Hữu Châu. Minh Hữu Châu is the president, minister at the presidency, Minh Hữu Châu. He is the brother-in-law of Madame Yu. I mean, he married the sister of Madame New. And he agreed, said, oh, journalism is very important. Why not to give him, let him go?
And what was his name again? Not
Minh Hữu Châu.
How do you spell that?
N-G-Y-N.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, N-G-U-Y-N-H-U-U, yeah.
C-H-I-U.
Okay.
He is the husband of...
Is the brother-in-law of Madame Nu?
Yeah.
Okay.
She married the elder sister of Madame Nu.
So Win Tai would know him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Lin Hung Chao.
Okay, so Jack Horner introduced you to Bui Tuang An, who was a professor at Columbia, and also to Chow.
A guest professor.
A guest professor.
Guest professor, not a Korean professor.
Okay,
he was a double
surgeon now. But Bui Tuang An, he was a professor at Columbia. And
as a kind of honor.
An honor.
Honorable.
And both of these guys recommended that you go to go to study in America.
And at the same time, my cousin-in-law worked for Warren Time and asked Warren Time to give Jin the authorization, I mean, encourage advise Jin to give me the visa.
And this is Win Khan, who later became the president of Vietnam in 1964. This is
Nguyen Khan, Central Vietnam.
Khan.
Nguyen Khan, the young brother of Nguyen Diem, the youngest brother. Win.
Oh.
Nguyen Khan.
Oh. N G U Y N.
N G O D I N S C A N. He was ordered by Win Khan to be executed.
Oh. I see. Yes.
Very important. He captured all the network of intelligence in Saigon, 1957-58.
He was ordered to be killed by who?
Min Khan.
Right.
So he refused to give money to Min Khan. He turned over his money to the Catholic Church.
No Din Khan was the brother of...
The youngest brother of Siam.
And who did he order to be killed? Who did he order to be killed? The order to be killed?
Yeah, he was ordered by Win Khan.
Right.
Right.
I know that.
So he was killed.
Okay, so that's how you met Dr. Tien then. Okay, that helps me, I know.
So that's why we're not in time. I have good excuse to come and see him and then to express him and thank for his help. I went to US and now I have this education. I'm looking for a job. He said, oh, fine, we can use you as a press man. We send you to get a press. So.
Okay. Now, you always had a very good relationship with Dr. Tien,
yes.
Win Tai did, yeah.
But after that, I came to Win Tai different.
He's
the man of Northern Khan.
Right.
Central Vietnam. And then the private secretary of Northern Khan, a friend of Win Tai also worked for Northern Khan. So two groups, one group worked for Northern Nho, and another group worked for Morning Khan. But they are very smart. Those who are not happy with Nho went to see Khan to complain. Those who are not happy with Khan come to talk to Nho. But after that, these brothers talk to each other. See them.
I do see it, yeah. Okay, then.
I could please Tien. He agreed and he was happy that we have someone from Tien. Take care of the bunch of spies sent abroad using Vietnam press.
Right, I know that.
As a cover, but these people, they are not professional. They should enjoy life, that's all.
That's what he told me. And that's what you told me also. You quit Nick Turner right after the 1964 coup, right?
Not right after. After the coup of, right after. For January 1963 coup. But the coup lasted until January 64.
Right.
January 64, you can't pull a coup overthrowing the big main adventure and the other general. And Sidor has Raul Lucalis, Edelman, they would like to neutralize South Vietnam. The American intention not to neutralize South Vietnam, to continue the war. And that's why they have to be open for it. And then the idea, and then Bill Kennedy's idea too.
Okay.
It was to pull a pool. Jasper Winston, his advisor, sent chicken call, you know, organized that one.
All right, I have that. I understand that. That's good. Now, in this photograph,
okay,
I know
two
that,
family.
Right, that is two family. That is you. I know that.
And
yes.
My father.
And
my
that's
mother,
your father. And that's your mother.
My mother.
Okay.
And this is those work. And this is the man, and his wife, his son, and then and after he has made his daughter, they have they graduate the same school, the same class of my father. His wife was a orphan, a Catholic orphan, you know, and he married her from the orphanage. And then they get stuck here, and then several years later, and then they went ODP to the U.S. or France, something like that.
Okay, and this
Mr. Zung.
Zung. And this picture was probably taken where? In the Mekong Delta somewhere? Or?
Yeah, Mekong Delta in the near the Human Forest.
Okay.
So, this is the boat to leave when the boat move into area that you cannot go up on land to sleep. But if there is a pagoda or they call it a house or the village, so you can have these people go on land to sleep. Yes.
Yes. And your father, he was a land surveyor, right?
Land surveyor.
And he went all over Vietnam, right?
In South Vietnam.
In South Vietnam. And when you were older, you went with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where, and you learned, when you were with your father, you learned, you saw rich, poor, you saw the colonialism, the way the French treated people, and in your own mind, you started to develop a sense of.
I way to enjoy it. How poor these people.
And so when you joined the Viet Minh.
Yeah, because of two things. One thing is to free Vietnam from French colonialism. I see that before. Mm-hmm. Almost all of Vietnamese joined the revolution to fight for independence. Not for communism, no.
Right.
They didn't know anything about communism. Except very few. That's why there were two different things. One, they call it Viet Minh because of those who joined the veteran. And Ho Chi Minh is a man who accept all the organizations into that government. And then, after that, they go to creation between the north and south. And that is dangerous. Dangerous because when they set up the Vietnamese unification of the war, the communists worried very much. You know why?
Why?
They turned the war of liberation into the internal war.
Right.
And the seaman war between north and south. Fortunately, you know, did not carry out the agreement. If he carried out the agreement, South Vietnam would be impregnable. That is the reason why 74 they hurry up, you know, to unify the country, to go to the Pacific. But that's why many Vietnamese turn against them.
Okay, this I understand. Okay.
Your friend said, Dr. Zhu Kunhua, who tracked down the same thing. Many other intellectuals, all of them, almost all of them.
Now, your mother, she stayed at home. Did your mother work? Did your mother have a job? A housewife.
Most wives of the French people here were housewives.
Now, was your father considered, your family, when you were this age, was your family considered middle class or poor or rich?
No, not rich, not poor.
Yeah.
Fonctionnaire.
Yeah.
I mean, you have it easy during the depression. Everybody they say it's poor, but you are the opening act, you have a salary.
Now, I know your father died right before you went to, I know, right before you went to the United States, but did he know about your mission?
What?
Did your father know about your mission?
No, he didn't.
No. Did he know you had joined the Communist Party?
No, he didn't.
He didn't know that, okay.
And so he know my boss, but these people came to my house.
But your father, was he a member of the, he was not a member of the Communist Party,
he
right?
No, he was. Actually, he was followed by the communists very closely.
Right.
From the net of high position.
That's what Neil Sheehan told me. The communists were suspicious of him. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why they have him evacuated from the city, but the French didn't know about that. The partner, he worked for the other side. So that's why the French.
Okay.
But the Communist Party is smart. They do not say that they isolate him, but they put him in such a way that they can control him on.
Very smart.
When I knew this kind of thing, it was later.
Later.
I did not write. I did not learn about that right away. Because, you know, young, I was only 17, 18. Like the French said that anyone younger than 30 can be a revolutionary. But when they reach over 30, they become a pig, you know. Latin.
Yes.
G-L-U.
Oh, a glutton. Okay, yes, glutton.
All
right. Now, the other thing there are two different stories about your trip to the United States. Who paid for the airfare? Now, I wrote in my book that the airfare that your plane ticket was bought by a wealthy Viet Minh plantation owner, landowner, and that the party, you know, that person paid for your ticket. Is that true?
They paid the ticket.
Right.
I have the pension because I work for the customer. I withdrew all of my money from the customer, but not enough.
How much was in your pension?
I don't remember.
Very little, right?
Very little. But the cost of the aircraft very, very high. At that time, it was Pan American. You know,
right.
We went there by constellation.
Right. Okay, but then when you got to America, you were supposed to have a scholarship, but you lost it, right?
Yeah, I lost. Actually, they gave me a scholarship already.
Who did? The Asia Foundation.
No, not the Asia Foundation. You said them to give me a scholarship, but Mr. Woodlum Dean and then the other one did not want to give it to me because I did not have the French baccalaureate.
Uh huh.
That's the reason. They used that reason not to do it.
And that was the Asia Foundation, or that
not
was
the Asia
no.
Foundation. You said it was the professor interest.
Oh, okay.
The chief educational, you said at that time for Tucson.
All right.
He gave me the scholarship to go to any university for
right.
4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Hildreth did, yes.
Yeah. About $350 a year, something like that.
And they took that away, yeah.
And then I said, I go by myself. And then if I not ask you, he said that if you go abroad, you should have your money changed into dollars. $35 and that means American $18. So they don't want to waste the dollar the private students to go abroad to learn the subject they have in Saigon. If you have the subject taught at the Saigon University, they wouldn't let you go over. Unless you get a scholarship to go. That's backed by the government,
okay.
The American government. You see it?
I do,
so
yeah.
They refuse to let me go on that basis. After that, I said, I go, actually I intended to learn economics or something bigger than that. And then they said, all right, the only way is to say that you would like to learn journalism. So I said, all right, select that track, Saigon had no journalist course. And after that, it was Asia Foundation.
Right.
Trying to have Vietnam set up this journalism course at Vietnam Press.
Right.
That's why they gave me the rent. After graduation, they gave me the rent to go to the UN, etc. You better talk to the Asia Foundation at the 500 Kilkenny Street. Mr. Thomas, you know, Dr.
I think
Howard Thomas.
I think he's dead. Yeah.
He's dead?
I think so. I'll check.
A good friend of Stan Cano.
I'll ask Stanley.
And after that, he was replaced by Thomas Howard. His first name, the first one was Howard Thomas. He speaks French. This one speaks Spanish very well. And he was a close friend of mine. As in my wedding, he gave me a replacement, Michael Malusev, a Christian. And then after that, it was Thomas Howard who replaced with the color American, but not very black. You had a friend called the Caucasian white.
Okay.
He would like me to work for the Asia Foundation, but I'm really promised to work for the army. So he said, all right, forget about that. We will get an appointment. I persuade you to work for Asia Foundation. So I agreed to have a coffee with him at a product. While waiting for him, the communists had blown at the bomb at the embassy. So I rushed there. He was carried out on the stretcher. He lost one of his eyes. And then we heard him see him.
This is Thomas Howard. Yeah.
Thomas Howard.
Right, okay. Now, when you were in the United States, how did you support yourself? How did you live? How did you?
They allowed you to change only $100 a month. And then during the summertime, they allowed you to change $300 with $150 a month. I mean, $450 for the summertime. So I saved it to pay at the dormitory and everything. It's going to be only $40 a month.
Yeah.
And then weekend, you can eat outside, it's cost you about $1 breakfast in the morning. The rest of that, you just buy something and then cook. Or the Henry, the Henry Lecter happy to do it.
Your friends told me you used to go outside, your friends, your roommates, they told me you used to go outside and get the grasshoppers and bring them in and say, tonight we have a feast.
Very expensive in Vietnam. In that dough, kind of about from the water.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Very expensive. It's very poor people, it's very expensive. They have plenty in California.
Now, did your mother and brother send you money also? Did your family send you money?
No.
No. No one sent you money.
Good luck that Vietnam already.
Okay.
But I say that I do not spend anything. I spend most of the time on books, I said everything is very cheap. Because consider I have an advantage. They consider me as a California resident. So I don't have to pay
tuition. Out of state, yeah.
Et
all right.
With the recommendation of Dr. Peterson.
Right.
And he's a friend of Dr. Hintrust.
Right. And they live on Balboa Island, and right.
But Dr. Hintrust live Balboa Island, but the other one does not have Balboa Island.
Okay. All right, I have that in the book. Now, your first American advisors were Hicks and Glenn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colonel Hicks and Glenn.
Yes.
were your American advisors?
Oh, no. I had many advisors, but the 4th Division, the 35th Division advisor, two colonels, Glenn. But when we set up the 6th Light Infantry Division, all of them were advisors.
Right. And they told you?
6th Light Infantry Division. They were under the control of Colonel Jacques Mathieu, and then under the command of a full colonel, Arthur E. John. You see the picture of the man in the middle, Arthur E. John. That had Rosen, Forsyth, were Lieutenant Colonel working for that guy. But under Westmoreland, they become a 3-star general. Forsyth was the commander of 1st Division.
What was his name?
Forsyth. But they were, all of them were Lieutenant Colonel working for Lansdale.
Okay.
But this one was a full colonel.
Okay.
So they set up 6 like the advisor or owner, and then they pan out, each division has 2 advisors. So his man was a division of 25th Division.
25th Division.
The country, and then to disarm all the private arms.